Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. You're listening to episode 10 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdell, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Travis M. Dickinson, who is associate professor of philosophy and Christian apologetics at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. In the volume 39, number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, Travis has written an article called There's Something About Relativism, which is a rebuttal to an article about relativism in the New York Times called Moral Dispute or Cultural Difference by Carol Rovane, a professor of philosophy at Columbia University. Travis, it's good to have you on.
Well, thank you so much, Melanie.
So this is all about relativism. So what is relativism?
Well, there's a number of views that fall under this category of relativism. Some are not all that interesting, just to be quite honest with you. Some are not all that controversial. So, for example, there are ways in which certain mental states are relative to the individual. So we say things like, "I feel your pain," but we don't really feel each other's pain. Pain states are relative to, they're inherently subjective. But the interesting sort of relativism is a view about truth. And this is the controversial notion of relativism. The sort of JV, junior varsity version of this, and that's probably even too complimentary. This is probably more like the elementary team version of it, is where one just sort of says, a claim or belief or thought is true because I say it is, because I believe it or think it or whatever. I had an advisor at University of Iowa who's not a believer at all, and he would say that's so bad it's a kind of perpetual stutter. You're really just sort of repeating yourself. There's probably a bit more sophisticated. It's probably the JV team version of it that says truth, a claim is true because I experience it as true or something like that. And there's more sophisticated versions still, but what relativism really is, it boils down to, is that a claim's truth has crucially to do with something about the person making the claim, something subjective.
So is relativism a new view? I know it's more talked about in the public square, just kind of like cultural awareness than in the past, especially with Christians and thinking about, public square issues out there, and we throw that term around. So is it kind of a new, more modern view?
It's not new at all. It feels new to some people. They think this is the sort of cutting edge, view to take. But this is as old as philosophy itself in some ways. So all the way back to the sort of Greek philosophers. In fact, there's some ways to see Socrates and Plato and those guys as reacting to various versions of relativism, or at least part of what they're reacting to is relativism. So this goes all the way back to the Sophists in ancient Athens. So not new at all, but it does kind of feel that way. It feels cutting edge, but we just need to remind ourselves that it's the adage that nothing is new under the sun. This is definitely not anything new. It's been around for a long, long time.
So is it more popular today to, this kind of view of different truth claims, like I believe something, therefore it's true? Is that more popular in culture today than in the past, maybe?
It seems to be. I taught at the University of Iowa for 4 or 5 years as I was doing my grad work, and it was kind of the default position of a lot of college students coming into my classroom. They would just sort of default to that. Now, especially as it related to moral claims or religious claims, they thought those were for sure relativistic. But even, it seemed to function as a sort of, when things got too heated and they didn't know what to say, that it was a sort of move to relativism. And honestly, I was pretty successful at arguing my students out of relativism, you know, just because we would try to analyze it in a sort of philosophical way, and they would see that there's really no good argument for this. It's got some deep problems, especially the more JV team version of it. You know, they would embrace probably something like skepticism, but that's better, to be honest, because at least they're now talking about truth. And we can weigh the evidence and sort of have a discussion, whereas the relativist, there's really no discussing it. There's no debating it because, you know, truth, if it's relative to you, then I can't really have an input to how it is for you. So it closes discussion off in a lot of ways. But, yeah, it's very, very popular in a sort of pop culture sense. As I said, it's kind of this default version. It's even, unfortunately, in the churches in various ways, it's finding its way there too. So the Christian kids that would come into my class weren't much better than some of the rest of them.
So I know that you were rebutting Dr. Rovain in your article for us. Would you say that most philosophers are relativists?
That's the funny thing. There's very few, actually. I was very surprised with Rovain's article just how explicitly relativistic she is there. In fact, when I was coming to university, if I were to do my doctoral work, my idea to do my dissertation was going to be on truth and sort of confronting a relativist or a postmodern view of truth. And I was sort of told, you know, this probably is not going to work here, not because it's not a legitimate project, but it just wasn't. I probably couldn't get my professors to read the postmodern folks. I mean, it wasn't well received. They just didn't think there was any good arguments for it. It wasn't taken to be a very serious view. So, it's not a. Now, there's more sophisticated versions that, and they might even resist the label relativism. But I found it very striking that Rovain defended such an explicit version of what is known as cultural moral relativism. You're a bit hard-pressed to find too many philosophers that hold to a straightforward relativism like that.
So are there different kinds of relativism, different versions? I know you just mentioned the one that Dr. Rovain has. Could you explain her view?
Yeah, so the cultural moral relativist. So there's a kind of relativist about all truths, all categories of truth. You know, the world is just as I find it, as I see it, almost a kind of Nietzschean, 19th century German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who saw, you know, reality literally was my perspective, so that his is a radical version of postmodernism, but that's about the whole world, whereas you could be relativistic about certain categories of truth claims. So as I mentioned, you could be a moral relativist or a religious relativist, or you could be, you know, other things still. Those tend to be the most popular ones where folks will say, look, my moral values are just made true by what I've, you know, find to be the case or my experiences or my sentiments, something to that effect. Or, you know, religiously, if I find the world best explained by Allah and Islam, this sort of thing, then that's true for me. I don't really know what that means when somebody says Allah exists for me, but that's the kind of thing that gets said in college classrooms from time to time. So there are definitely different versions, and then even these specific categories break down to further subcategories. And so for Rovain, Dr. Rovain, she is a, as far as I can tell from, you know, she is a cultural moral relativist. So our moral claims are made true by our sort of cultural sentiments rather than our individual sentiments. So she talks about how there's this contrast between folks growing up in different moral systems, and it's that system of the individual's culture that really makes true our claims, our moral claims.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Dr. Travis M. Dickinson, who has written a feature article for the Volume 39, Number 2 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and his article is called There's Something About Relativism. You want to read this article, so subscribe to the journal. A six-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe, go online to equip.org. We were just talking about different versions of relativism, but in your answer, you were mentioning postmodernism, too. I'd like you to explain postmodernism and then tell us how relativism and postmodernism relate.
Yeah, there's no chance that I'm going to be successful at explaining postmodernism, really. Best I can sort of do is sort of give some broad brush strokes of what a lot of postmodern folks believe. So the way I at least understand it, and again, some will take issue with this taxonomy, but I think of relativism as the umbrella term, and then postmodernism would be a version underneath that umbrella. But it tends to be a more sophisticated version. It's often emphasizing our use of language and our sort of concepts that are inherent in our language. And the postmodern will often talk about, there'll be our kind of linguistic communities. So I'm in a Baptist setting here at Southwestern, and so there's a sort of Baptist way of talking about the world that I sort of play a language game with other Baptists, and we have our way of talking about the world. And so things are made true in that setting insofar as it sort of maps onto the way that language is used in my community. So it's a little more sophisticated. I think it really still boils down to a kind of relativistic view. As I say, I think it falls under that broader category of relativism, but it's not now carving it up by different kinds of claims like moral claims or religious claims. It's looking at one's community and linguistic community in particular. Now, I should mention, too, that this term postmodernism, though, is used in so many different ways, it's almost impossible to really give a fair characterization of it. Sometimes postmodern, like a postmodern church will hear, and that just means they have, instead of pews and instead of even chairs, there's like thrift store couches, and maybe they're organized in a circle rather than a straightforward auditorium or whatever. But that's not a very interesting. That's more stylistic, and that's I think we can feel free to sort of explore those styles. I think there's there's some interesting conversations to be had about what's the best, but that's mostly stylistic. I'm much more worried about a sort of philosophical view, the postmodern view that would say truth, again, is sort of relative to my linguistic community, because then then postmodern Christian sounds to be more like an oxymoron, because it seems to cut the legs out of what the gospel is meant to be. It's meant to be the good news for all people, a way of salvation. But if it's only relevant to or relative to my linguistic community, then it seems to cut the legs out of missions and evangelism.
You were talking earlier about Dr. Rovane's view, and it does seem, though, that there are certain moral obligations or different ethical views within certain cultures. And so, for example, like especially if you think of like maybe India, where they come from a Hindu culture, or Pakistan, that's, a Muslim culture. I think it's been said that we're used to things, like you mentioned, kind of your community and the language that you use in your circles. Like, we wouldn't, how can we suddenly talk about Christianity or Christian claims in these contexts, which is totally a non-Christian context of, a Hindu culture or a Muslim culture. So does that mean that relativism is true? In other words, their culture is Hindu, so that's true for them. In Pakistan, they go by Muslim ethics because that's true for them. And in America, we're quote-unquote Christians, so we have a different ethic than they do.
Yeah, I think, there's interesting distinctions to be made, kind of how your last phrase there, that there's a different ethic. some moral philosophers, everybody breaks it up in various ways. The way I think of it is there are absolute moral principles that are true for all people for all time, ultimately grounded in the character of God. And so it doesn't matter if you live in Pakistan or India or Texas, those moral absolutes, those principles you are under obligation to fulfill those principles. Now, what those principles exactly look like can look really different depending on the facts on the ground. So in Rovane's article, Dr. Rovane's article, she talks about obligations to parents. And that might look really different across different cultures because of the various cultural... I mean, one thing to say about moral philosophy and ethics is that it's really, really complicated. We always want it to be nice and black and white and have these nice, neat sorts of deals, but it just is not. It's easy to sort of say, well, what about this situation? And then oftentimes there's so many different moral principles involved that it's very hard to say what we should say morally about that situation. So, but I think we can make sense of this idea, and this is probably one of the more cruder examples you might hear today. But in some cultures, I'm told, I don't really know this, but I'm told that in some cultures it's a compliment to belch after the meal, after a good meal. You know, a belch is like a compliment, whereas, in Texas at least, it's not so much a compliment, it's practically an insult. So that feels like a kind of relativism, but it's really not, because what the moral principle is that you shouldn't be offensive. We should be polite. There are certain moral obligations, especially when we're in in another's home, to be polite. And so if you're in a culture in which, in order to fulfill that principle, a belch is going to do it. Well, there you go. But in other cultures, it wouldn't be. So I think we can make sense of some of that. But I think at the end of the day, just because there are differences across cultures, that it doesn't follow from that relativism is true, right? Because the differences in cultures are about our beliefs about morality. And beliefs are the sort of things that can be true or false. And so just because there are beliefs, it certainly doesn't follow that relativism is true. However, we can make sense of the fact that we have, it might look like we're under different obligations across cultures, but that's only because these principles can be applied in a variety of ways, still staying true to this absolute moral principle.
So sometimes relativism is dismissed as something that's incoherent. So what does it exactly mean to be logically incoherent? I mean, are there versions of relativism that are logically incoherent?
There are. There certainly are. The sort of JV team version of it, I think, is pretty obvious. That's why I say the students that would walk in to my classroom at the University of Iowa, they would say something like, there's no absolute truth. And then, of course, the follow-up is, well, is that absolutely true? And I think what they're trying to say is, look, for everybody, for all time, for all people, in every culture, there is no absolute truth. That sure looks like you're saying something as incoherent as this, that it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth. And that's just obviously incoherent. And again, I don't know any... philosopher that will state it that way, at least, right? Because that's just obviously incoherent, and that's the kind of thing where you have to for practical purposes, you need to misunderstand the view to even assert it to be true, because it's not coherent to say it's absolutely true that there is no absolute truth. So there's definitely that sort of logical incoherence. When you look at the more sophisticated versions of it, a kind of Nietzschean version where one might say that all truth is perspectival, all truth is a matter of perspective, there we want to say, well, how do you know? How did you come to that view? Are you saying that that truth is perspectival, or is that also a, you know, or is that a absolute truth, you know, for all people for all time, that's not a matter of perspective? To assert that truth is perspectival, it sounds better. It sounds more sophisticated. It sounds less JV. However, it looks to have some of the same incoherence. The only way you, I think, in relativism, you avoid the incoherence is if you relegate it to certain kinds of claims. So oftentimes people will critique moral relativism as self-refuting, but it's not obviously self-refuting. If you were to say there is no moral absolute truth or something like that, or absolute moral truth, I should say, well, that's only self-refuting if that claim itself is a moral truth. You see what I mean? But if you're just saying, look, it's the absolute truth that there are no absolute moral claims or moral truths, then that's not obviously self-refuting. I think it's got other problems, but that's not a matter of being self-refuting or logically incoherent.
What about the Christian church? How prevalent is relativism in the church?
Yeah, unfortunately, we really, a kind of postmodernism about truth has gotten a hearing in the church that, again, it doesn't get in many philosophy departments on secular campuses. The emergent church movement, and I know there's a great variety and diversity amongst that movement. It's kind of died out. I don't hear as much about it these days, but I'm guessing a number of these guys are still doing work. In many, many ways, they were and are espousing a kind of postmodern relativism. And that's the shame of all, that it's gotten a greater hearing in some ways than it has in philosophy departments in the church. So I'm all for saying, look, we can all sort of come with our own backgrounds and ways of expressing worship to God and that sort of thing. But when you sort of boil it down to certain core claims, these are the non-negotiables that, again, I think we can approach God in different, sort of enculturated ways, but there are certain basic claims that the gospel makes that I can't see how we can square the gospel with a kind of relativistic postmodernism.
So if relativism is false, then what would be true?
Yeah, so truth is this. Truth, I think, for just to give your listeners a kind of simple definition of truth, truth is correspondence with reality. Now, that's too quick and that's too vague, and we need to say a little more about that. And a lot of good Christian apologists have said quite a lot about that. But truth is when we make a claim, and that claim is the thing that's either true or false. When that stands in a relation of correspondence to the way the world is. So it's real simple. It's just this idea. I'm looking out my window of my office right now, and I see a tree. So I'm believing that there's a tree outside my window. That claim, that belief is true insofar as the world is that way. There is a tree outside my window. So there's the claim I make, and then there's the fact that's outside of me, has nothing to do with me, that makes that claim true. That's what stands in this correspondence relation. So it doesn't matter how much I want the tree to be there or how much I don't want the tree to be there. It has nothing to do with my experience, with my taste, my sentiments. That claim is true as far as the world is that way. And I think that's how all of our claims are. If I'm making a claim about God's existence, I'm making a claim about what Jesus has done for us on the cross, or I make a claim about some moral practice or moral obligation or whatever, that claim is made true insofar as the world is that way. Plain and simple. But that makes it absolute and almost relentless in that way, right? Because we can wish something to be away, and frankly, that wishing has nothing to do with it. That just—it's just reality. The reality is either that way or it's not. It's the only two options.
So, is there anything we can even learn from relativism at all?
Yeah, in fact, I think this is where we sell ourselves short when we just sort of dismiss it, you know, whole cloth. I think what is at bottom when it comes to the relativist worry and concern, I mean, what drives the relativist to sort of reinvent truth in various ways is that they feel like we need to be more humble. I mean, in some ways, it's a very humble, motivated by humility. And I think that we can all take a lesson there to say it is very, very important that we understand I do have a perspective on the way the world is. Now, my perspective on my view, since I'm not a relativist or postmodern, is that I'm either right in some ways or wrong in some ways or a mixture of both. But I need to count very carefully the perspective of my neighbor, and we need to count very carefully the perspective of folks in the Middle East and, you know, Africa and other places when we're making claims about the way the world is. I think that we need to be challenged to approach this truth, you know, our search for truth, our journey towards truth, with greater humility, because there are many, many perspectives. And you learn this in marriage pretty quickly, that it's pretty easy to think, just to be completely convinced that your way is the right way, and it turns out you're just completely wrong. And having your spouse's perspective was incredibly valuable. And I think that's the same in church. And I think that's the same in our neighborhoods and our communities, as well as on a global scale. We need to approach these things with humility, not to the extent that we say truth is relative. I think that's an overcorrection of having this desire for humility and trying to sort of make sense of other perspectives. But surely we need to consider what other people think and say and approach these things with humility.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Travis. So, Travis, okay. Chinese takeout or pizza?
Pizza.
Are you a go with the flow person, or are you super organized, scheduled, and a list maker?
Third option, which would have to be like seat of my pants option.
If you could choose anyone living or dead as a mentor, who would you pick?
Jesus.
And how many books did you read in the last year?
Maybe 20.
And who's your favorite philosopher and why?
My favorite, is this how rapid is it? Okay. In some ways, Jesus, I got to say, but also I love Bertrand Russell. He's comes from a very, very different perspective than me, and certainly on the issues of faith and Christianity and that sort of a thing. But he's very consistent sort of guy, very honest sort of guy, and colorful sort of guy.
Well, thank you, Travis, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Travis has an article in Volume 39, Number 2, issue of the Christian Research Journal called There's Something About Relativism. To read it, subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. Be sure you also tune in daily to the Bible Answer Round broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Canagraph, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. To listen to a live stream of the show, as well as previous broadcasts, go to equip.org, where you can also download our free smartphone app, where you can live stream the Bible Answer Round broadcast, listen to previous broadcasts, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.